Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Building on the Rock, produced by St. Peter's Lutheran Congregation of Fond du Lac, located at 1600 South Main Street. Our congregation has had the privilege of serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ since 1858. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 7:45 or 10:30, or every Thursday night at 6:30. St. Peter's serves Jesus Little Lambs with a kindergarten through 8th grade Lutheran Elementary School and supports Winnebago Lutheran Academy. We invite you to take advantage of the many opportunities that St. Peter's provides to help you build your life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and His Word. For more information, call us at 922-1160 or visit us on the web at www.stpetersfdl.net. May God bless you as together we continue building on the rock.
Welcome to St. Peter's. Welcome to our guests and visitors with us tonight. Please take a moment to fill out a visitor card. They're located in the back of your worship pews. You can put them in the offering plate later on in the service. Tonight we continue in the season of Lent, and tonight we take a look at Jesus, our great high priest, and how as our great high priest, he is the mediator of the new covenant, that he is the one who goes between sinful mankind and our holy God. We begin this evening in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Eternal God and Father, help us to remember Jesus, who obeyed your will and bore the cross for our salvation, that through his anguish, pain, and death, we may receive forgiveness of sins and inherit eternal life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Congregation may be seated for our scripture lessons. They are printed on page 4 and 5 of our worship bulletins. The first from the Old Testament, coming from the prophet Jeremiah chapter 31. That here we see that as a high priest of the new covenant, Jesus secured forgiveness from all wickedness and sin. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is the word of our Lord. Our second lesson, coming from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, beginning at verse 7, here in this place, we see Jesus as our high priest, that he is the source of eternal salvation. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and, once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of our Lord. Let us join in confessing our Christian faith according to the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose in accordance with scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sermon text is printed on the top of page 6 of your worship bulletins from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning at John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. And Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now, my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Congregation may be seated. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, Amalia now lives on the outskirts of Chicago. She's a grandmother. She has four granddaughters. She was in her early 50s when she started to feel weak and out of breath. She was found to have heart disease and needed a heart transplant. Of course, she was then put on a heart transplant waiting list, and due to her age, she really didn't hold out too much hope that she would ever get one. And over time, as her condition worsened, she found herself moving into the hospital, ready to accept her final days. And it was there, and when a doctor came into the room and said, "Amalia, your hour has come. We have a heart for you." Immediately, she was overcome with a sense of great joy. But also at the same time, she was overcome with a great sadness, realizing that while now she and her family were now celebrating and rejoicing, that there was another family out there somewhere that was greatly mourning a loss. And while she was rejoicing and had joy at the thought of having and starting a new life, but at the same time realizing that this new life would only come about through another's death. Today, our text draws us ever closer to those saddening events surrounding Jesus' death, but yet realizing that it was only through Jesus dying that he was able to bring life to the world. For Jesus, his hour had come. He had just rode into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. The crowds lined the streets, cheering, shouting him on, shouting their hosannas, welcoming Christ their King. It was now Holy Week, and Jesus was just less than 5 days away from his crucifixion on Good Friday. He was just days away from the moment of his death. A death that through the cross and through the empty tomb, he would be glorified. In a time when he would glorify the name of his Father. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when his mother Mary asked him for help at the wedding of Cana, although Jesus did end up performing a miracle, changing the water into wine, but Jesus remarked to his mother at that time, he said, "Woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." Later on, as Jesus was publicly preaching to the crowds, he specifically warned the crowds not to tell anyone who he was because his time had not yet come. And then later on, as the Jewish religious leaders tried to seize, arrest, and even try to kill him, the Heavenly Father prevented them from doing so because his time had not yet come. But now, this last Holy Week, Jesus no longer tries to conceal who he was, nor does he try to deny the purpose for why he came. He has come to give his life for the salvation of the world, and saying that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, and it would be through his death that he would show himself to be that promised Savior. It would be through his death that he would bring life to the world. And one last time, this week, he predicts his death. And he uses the picture of a seed, a kernel of wheat, and he says, "I tell you the truth, that unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." And how true it is that a seed is nothing until it's planted. Only after the seed is planted in the dirt and in the ground, and then through its death and decay, is a new plant able to spring forth and to grow. And not just to grow, but to blossom and produce an abundance of fruit. Such is the beautiful picture of Christ, that only through the death of the very Son of God would life before God be able to come forth. Only after Jesus died and was laid in that tomb and buried in that tomb, that only through then his resurrection would new life spring forth from the grave, producing a spiritual harvest of forgiveness, hope, joy, and the certainty of eternal life. Without the death of Jesus, there could be no life. Which is why we, as Christians, every day, we die to this world and we hold on to that new life that we have in Christ. You cannot set your hearts and minds both in the earthly realm and both in the spiritual realm. You cannot want the things of the world and at the same time want the things of God. You cannot seek the pleasures of this world and at the same time seek the glories of heaven. You cannot follow the ways of this world and at the same time follow the will of your heavenly Father. It's either one or the other. And even Jesus said that too. He said, "The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." And the hating of this life in this world is nothing more than a warning against our sin of self-centeredness. It is wanting what I want more than what God wants. I want the pleasures of this world. I want the wealth of this world. I want the glory of this world. I want the fame of this world. I want the acknowledgments of this world. I want the accomplishments of this world. I want the praise of this world. And Jesus' warning is that if that is what we are after and if that is what we seek, then we are going to lose it all. And not just lose our physical life, but also lose our hope of any eternal life, for our sins before God will then damn us to hell. But through death, there is life. And for Christians, through repentance, we die to our sins, we turn to Christ in faith, and there find the salvation that he brings. And turning to Christ means that we also follow him. But following Jesus oftentimes comes at an earthly price. Sometimes we are mocked and ridiculed for our godly morality. Sometimes we may be forced to sacrifice friendships or even careers for standing up for the truth of God's word. But how wonderful to always know that the Almighty God stands at our side. He says, "Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Following the will of God always comes at an earthly price. And no different for Jesus, too. Following the will of his heavenly Father also came at an earthly price. Knowing that his death was close at hand, he prayed, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say?" He says, "Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Even though Jesus had just come freshly off the events of Palm Sunday, the crowds cheering him, shouting their praises and their hosannas, it didn't detract or take away from the real reason of why Jesus was there. No amount of praise that he received on that Sunday was going to overshadow the real reason why he was there and the path that lay ahead of him. in just a few days. He was going to be accused unjustly. He was going to be executed cruelly. He would be considered the worst offenders of the law and sentenced to death with the criminals. He would suffer on that cross the full weight of God's wrath over our sins. He would lay his soul bare as the complete sacrifice for sin. And no wonder he prayed. Just as he would do in the Garden of Gethsemane later on. But both times when Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father, it wasn't to spare him from this hour. It wasn't so that he could get out of it. No, but to pray to receive strength from his heavenly Father to face the time and the days ahead. That, Lord, heavenly Father, may I carry through your mission and ministry, and may your name be glorified through it. And it was then that a voice spoke from heaven. And the Father spoke, and he said, I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it again. The Father glorified his name at the beginning of Jesus' ministry at his baptism. The Father's name was glorified again when Jesus was out in the wilderness and took on the temptations of the devil. The Father's name was glorified again every time Jesus performed a miracle showing his divine authority. The Father's name was glorified again on the Mount of Transfiguration as the glory of Jesus shone forth. The Lord's name was glorified again, even on Palm Sunday as he rode in and Jesus was welcomed with hosannas and shouts of praise. And now one last time, the Father was going to glorify his name just one more time. And it was going to be at his son's death. And that through his son's death, life would come to the world. That he would offer up his only son as the complete sacrifice for sins, so that all who look to him would receive mercy and forgiveness. He said, now is the time for judgment on this world. And now the prince of this world will be driven out. But when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. We live in a world today that now is the time for its judgment too. When you take a look at the people in this world, either they stand in faith on the side of Christ or they stand in unbelief, having rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ and already stand condemned. As Christians, we know that as long as this earth endures, this Satan and his demons are already defeated. We know as Christians every day as we live upon this earth that we wake up and can live in the faith and in the freedom of forgiveness through Christ our Lord. And so we are able to go out and serve our Lord free from the fear of death, free from the guilt of shame, but to do all things to the glory of the Father's name. And as Jesus would be lifted up on that Good Friday, he indeed would draw all men to himself, for he would be the only way to the Father. And he continues to draw all men to himself in faith, and one day he will draw all of us to himself on that last and glorious day when we meet him face to face in the glories of heaven. And may that always be our hope in the days and years to come. Amen. Lord God, give us the strength and willingness to say with your Son, not my will, but your will be done. Make us cheerful and trusting to bear whatever may happen in our futures, knowing that it is always according to your will. From your hand, we are willing to take the good and the bad, the joy and the sorrow, but may you always keep us from sin, gracious Father, and comfort us with your kind and everlasting word. For all this we ask and pray in the name of our Savior, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O God, the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness, you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.